Good morning. Happy Father's Day. And especially happy Heavenly Father's Day every day. Let me pray for us before we get into the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you, God, and we are so thankful for the privilege of being your children. God, we're thankful, Father, that we get to know you as a father. Lord, thank you for the privilege, the challenge that you give some of us to be earthly fathers, even though we have shortcomings, and even though we fall short at times, Lord, that you still use us to guide and to bless. Father, for everybody here today, we ask that as a father who dearly loves us, that you would bless us, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us strength for today, Lord, that you would guide us and provide for us. And more than anything, Father, I just pray that you would help us to know you more today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have titled the message today, To Know the Father. Do we have any... I know we have some, but we've got some fathers here, right? Probably a grandfather or two. Okay, so if we could, I'd like to just share a gift. And Ian, could I have you help me with this? Just for anybody here who is a father, if you'd give one of those. Also, if you're a man and you have a father, we're going to go ahead and include you. And if you are a man here and you know the Heavenly Father, we'll include you too. So any guys here, you can have a book. So just something to encourage you today. Sorry, ladies. Yeah. I want to invite you, as we get into the Word this morning, to share this prayer to our Heavenly Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Ian. God is a father. He is a father. How long has he been a father? Anybody want to jump out there with a guess? A really long time, more than any of you guys. You know, throughout all of eternity, before time even existed, God has been a father. God the Father has eternally loved the eternal Son, always. God has always been a father. And one of his chief characteristics as a father is love. It's always been love. In John 3:16, the Word tells us, for God so loved the world, he loved us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 4:7 through 9 tells us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son. Remember, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, through Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:1, the Word tells us, See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. The central image revealed in the Bible to us is that God is a loving Father. God is a loving Father. And Christianity is the only religion in the world that can say that. We're the only people, those who are saved, that can say, our Father, that can address him that way. Because it's only through the saving work of the Son, it's only through Jesus Christ in the gospel that he is our Father. It's only through Jesus. Through his death and burial and resurrection, not only just to save us, as awesome as that is, but that we could know God as our Father, that we could be adopted into his family through Jesus Christ. In John 14:6 through 7, Jesus said to him, I am the way, singular, only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him, and you have seen him. The English word there, known, in verse 7, it's used a couple times, but there's actually a couple of different Greek words there that are translated the same way, translated as known, and they're not the same Greek word. They actually have a bit of a different meaning. They're not identical. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. In the first instance there, the Greek means to understand, to recognize, to observe. Jesus is saying, if you had really observed me and understand who I am, if you really recognized who I am, and then the second word there in the Greek, it means to discern by reflecting or to have wisdom. We might sum it up this way. Jesus is saying, if you'd recognize me, If you recognize who I really am, if you understand that I am the Son, Jesus said, you would have known my Father because you would know that I and the Father are one. You would recognize that. You'd discern that. It is in Jesus that we know the Father. And he's not just a Father. God is not just a Father or the Father in some general way. Or just positionally in the Trinity, he's not just the Father in that sense. To those who know Christ, he's our Father. You could say he's my Father personally. In Romans 8, 14 through 16, it is written, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in you to teach and to guide and correct and to lead. And you have the Spirit of God if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you've done that, the Spirit is leading you and you are a son or daughter. He is your Father. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery that returns you to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship by whom we cry, because the Holy Spirit is in us, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit inside us. We know we're his children. We know that he is our Father. And so as dearly loved children, we can pray, Our Father. You know, a lot of times in my prayer life, I'll catch myself in my prayers just calling out to the Lord or to God, and that's fine because He is Lord and He is God. But every once in a while, I'll just get a nudge. I need to say Father. I need to remember that because what a wonderful truth, what an incredible privilege to know God that way, to know him as a Father. And having God as a Father, I mean, think about what an amazing situation that is. to go through the mess of this life, through the confusion or the ups and the downs and the joys and the fear and all of it, all the mess, go through it all and to know that God is your Father. I mean, that's the best. That's amazing. But it's still difficult sometimes. It's still hard sometimes in this life. It's not Aladdin and he's Will Smith and he's giving you three wishes every time you want it. That probably wouldn't end very well for any of us if he was. But sometimes it trips us up. The fact that if he's my Father, how come this situation is this way? Why do we suffer? Why do we go through trials and things that we know that he's God and we know that he could make a situation different? So why, if he is our Father, do we go through this? And I don't have a quick, easy answer for that necessarily, but I just want to share one truth in that regard, and that is because he's your Father, because he's my Father, no matter what you're going through, you never go through it alone. You never go through it alone. Because we have a God, we have a Father who also suffers. Who also suffers. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if some of you ever read his works or familiar with him, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a brilliant German pastor during World War II, remarkable man. There's grace for that, brother. During World War II, and you might check out the book if you have some free time. There's a book. He wrote a lot of great books, Dietrich Bonhoeffer did, before coming to an end in this life. One's called The Cost of Discipleship. It's an incredible book. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was part of a plot among some Germans to assassinate Adolf Hitler. And you can wrestle with the morality of that and whether you agree with it or not. He does a pretty amazing job defending it in his writings, if you ever want to check that out. But he was caught. They came close to preventing the atrocities that happened in the war of the Holocaust. But he got caught. He was thrown into a Nazi prison. A couple weeks before the end of the war, he was executed. Hitler wanted to make sure that those who were part of that assassination plot, even though his regime was falling, to make sure they didn't survive. Bonhoeffer scratched out these words on a scrap of paper in that prison cell and somehow smuggled it out. And it had six words on that piece of paper, and it said, "Only the suffering God can help. Only the suffering God can help." I've got a good imagination, but I can't imagine what this man was experiencing in that Nazi prison. He loved his country, and at this point it was in ruins. It was decimated by the war. He loved the church that he was a leader in, not just his local church, but the church in Germany, which at this point had compromised thoroughly with the Nazis and was hardly opposing Hitler at all. He'd had friend after friend after friend who were in that prison with him that had gone to be executed. And his time was coming soon, and he knew it. But he found comfort in his faith, knowing that God was with him and that God also suffers. And it's easy for me to picture the Son, Jesus, suffering on the cross. I don't know the depth of it, but I can imagine. But there was a suffering for the Father, the eternal Father who forever, from before forever, had loved the Son so dearly, and to be separated at that moment of wrath and judgment at the cross, to see that, to know that, to experience that. And one of the remarkable things about that is that God chose that. He chose that. You know, in my own life, I'll just be honest with you, God's used suffering in my life for my good more times than I can count. Over and over again, strengthening my faith, getting rid of messy stuff in me that shouldn't be there through suffering. Over and over again, God has demonstrated His grace and suffering in my life, and yet if I had to choose it, I would never choose to suffer. I wouldn't. If it was my way, I'd say, let's find another way, God. Let's find another way to work on me. Let's find another way to grow me up a little bit, because I really don't want to go through that. But God chose to suffer for you and for me. Our Father did out of love for you what He would do for no other reason, to have the Son go to that cross for sinners. For sinners. To pay a sacrifice for you. You know, He knew that if He didn't do it, the only other option would be for that wrath to come down on you forever and on me. John Stott, a remarkable theologian from the last century, I recommend his books too. But John Stott said, the essence of sin is man substituting himself for God. You know, God has spoken. We have His word. We know right from wrong. We have conscience. Sin is man substituting himself from God, saying, I want what I want. I want my agenda, not God's agenda. I want my thoughts. I want my feelings, and not what God wants. But the essence of salvation in Jesus Christ, the essence of grace, is God substituting Himself for us. And that's what Jesus did. He substituted Himself. He took that sin upon Himself for us, in our place, to save us from the sin and death that we deserved. You know, I can't imagine the magnitude of the suffering involved in that. Don't think I want to. I want to give us just a small nugget of application for this, of what this means to our lives, how we should approach things as His children, as His sons and daughters, through highs and lows and just daily life. One of the greatest gifts that our Father has given us is the instruction manual that Ralph mentioned. What an amazing gift. And when things are off the rails in our life, which to varying degrees is pretty much every day, we have to go back to the manual. We have to go back to that resource, that supply that He's given us. You know, we live in light as His children. We are to live in the light of His word, not according to what we think. I can justify all kinds of stupid stuff in my thinking. Not according to how I feel. Our hearts are deceitful. Not according to what I want, because He knows what's best for us. And it's spelled out in His word. Approaching every day, every situation, everything in light of what has my Father said? What has my Father said? What has He written for me in the Bible? And by way of application, I'll just give you one area, because I think all of us at times worry. You know, worry, I think, comes from a couple things. One, when expectations aren't met that we have, although a lot of times that's frustration, not worry. But when circumstances are just not in our control, and we wish they were, and sometimes that causes worry, and And again, my mind can justify my worry, I think, in my thinking. And it's natural. I'm not beating anybody up. I have plenty of worry. But I just want to help us in this, that our Father has told us in His Word, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. He says, I, your Heavenly Father, I know what you need. He tells us, you know what? Today's cares are enough for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. He tells us that His grace is sufficient no matter what the challenge of the day. When we know the Father's heart for us, when we know His character, His goodness, and we live in light of that, we live in light of what His Word says, it changes everything. You know, in Psalm 50:15, the Lord tells us, call upon me in the day of trouble. Call upon me when you're overwhelmed with concern and worry. Psalm 55:22, He tells us, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Bring those to Him. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, He says, don't be anxious for anything. For anything. Trust your Father. Heard a great quote from David Jeremiah this past week. He said, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. What a wonderful truth. You know, this Father's Day and every day, because every day is the day He's made, every day is our Father's Day, our Heavenly Father, it belongs to Him. And He's given us such a beautiful gift in His Word, in the Bible. And He wants us to listen to Him. He wants us to come to Him and read His words and receive it and be blessed by it. He wants us to know that instruction book and live in light of it so that we can know Him. We can know Him more. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll invite a couple people up to help with communion this morning. If you have never personally put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can talk about God. You can refer to Him in some abstract kind of way. But you can't say, my Father. And so you come to Jesus Christ the Son and trust in Him. You have to come to the Savior. You have to admit your need for Him. That you're a sinner who can't fix themselves and receive the promise that He gives of forgiveness and of grace and of sonship. And when we do that, the Spirit of God sets up residence within our hearts. And then you can call Him my Father. Our Father, Lord, this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus that if there's anybody here today, God, who doesn't know You in that personal saving way yet, if they haven't put their trust in the Savior, God, we pray that they would see that, as Jesus said, He is the way, the only way to the Father. And I pray, Lord, for the gift of faith. For anyone here who hasn't got that gift yet, Lord, that You would give the gift of faith to reach out to Jesus and trust, to receive the Son, to invite You into their heart and their life, and to cause belief and to bring salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a brief communion meditation to share, but I'd like to invite a couple of men to come up and help with this. So do we have any volunteers, any men who would like to help with the communion this morning? Jeff, would you mind helping? Thank you. Yeah, one of you other men, would you help? Yeah. Come on up. Yeah, thank you. I know there's a few of us that it's hard for you to come up here, so after I complete the reading the meditation that I wanted to share with you, men, if you wouldn't mind if we could take that first to those who can't come up. If there's anybody who can't come up that feels like, just raise your hand if you'd like them to bring that to you first, if you're not able to come up, but then we'll, you can come up after that. So, you know, thinking of Father's Day a lot this weekend, thinking about my own children, thinking about their lives, my expectations, thinking about, I remember when my son Jesse was a toddler, 2 or 3 years old, and just dreaming for him, wondering what God was going to do with his life and whether he would like to catch a football with me when he gets big enough to do it, whether he would want to go camping or play video games. That one took. You know, whether God would eventually help him to become a lawyer or maybe a race car driver, or who knows, maybe a politician. Woo! Anybody hope for that? Probably not, no. You know, who knows? Maybe even a pastor. You know, I think it's okay to dream for your kids. I think it's okay to just ponder. As long as it results in you encouraging them and supporting them and giving them some freedom and some direction, not being unloving and unrealistic in those expectations or being overly demanding in some way. I don't know specifically whether my father, my earthly father, had expectations of my career or what I would do specifically. I know he'd be happy with where I am today. But I learned a lot of my father's expectations by watching him. You know, he was a man of great character. The most honest man I knew. Hardworking. Supported his family, took care of his family. And I know that that's what he wanted for all four of his kids. The hardworking part, all four kids in my family are so different. Each of us are very different from each other, but we all like to work. We all love the Lord. Thinking about fatherly expectations, I wonder if God the Father would have a conversation with God the Son before he came into this world, if he would have maybe just shared some expectations with Jesus and maybe just said, you know, using a little divine imagination, it's not in the Word of God, but maybe the Father saying, Jesus, mankind is a mess. They are so broken. They're so selfish. They're so off track. They're in rebellion in their spirits, and I love them, and I gotta save them. And if the Father might have said to the Son, I want you to go to them. I want you to go to them as one of them, and I want you to live a perfect life. Show what it's supposed to look like to live in relationship to me, the Father. And then after living that perfect life with them, I want you to take all of their sin upon you, all their guilt, all their brokenness, all their shame, and I want you to make atonement for them. I want you to suffer in their place and to die in their place. And all along, the whole time, unwaveringly, I want you to love them because I love them. And I want you to forgive them. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If the Son and the Father weren't, how could he have met these expectations? In communion, we celebrate that Jesus fulfilled the expectations of his Father and came to save us. So this morning, if you know God as your Father, if you've put your trust in Jesus, we invite you to come up and celebrate and participate in communion this morning. So worship team, if you want to go first, you're welcome to do that. But does anybody need communion brought to them this morning? You're just tired. Yeah. If not, then you're welcome to come.